Okay, so first thing, I'm not a pastor. Okay, so I'm going to just start with that right off the bat, just so that you know. Yes, my name is Paul McCartan. I am not a Beatle. I don't sing. If you heard me sing, you wouldn't think of Paul McCartney. So I promise you that. That would be the end of that. So I usually get that quite a bit. But I am honored and privileged to be here with you folks today. I actually come to the Wainwright area quite a bit. I actually work around in this area with farmers. So I work in agriculture. So Wainwright has had a special place in my heart. So I've been coming here for almost a decade now regularly for work as well. So it's an honor to be in the church with you guys. Today, I get a chance to speak. And what I wanted to do is honor you guys and honor the Lord with a testimony. So we heard a wonderful testimony just a few seconds ago, which is amazing, and it's exactly what the Lord continues to do in our life. So if you don't mind, I'd like to open in prayer before we get started, and then we can go from there. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for all these wonderful folks who are here today, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity to be able to speak, Lord, that the words that come out of my mouth are words that you want to be said, Lord, that what people hear, they need to hear, and Lord, that you will be able to work in their hearts and minds, Lord, that they will be able to minister to others in the community of Wainwright around them, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for each and every one of them here. In your name we ask this, Lord. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to blame COVID because COVID is the problem of everything. I actually can't see very well anymore. I used to have really good eyesight, but I think it must have taken my eyesight or something, or maybe it's something to do with age, so I'll call it age. But okay, so you heard about my wife. I happen to marry Judy's sister, and I have five boys, and I have one of them with me, our youngest, who happens to be the biggest one of them all. They just kept growing as we kept having them, so it was a very strange thing. And we're fortunate enough now to have two granddaughters, so we now have some females in the family too, which is fantastic. So we're very blessed with that. Okay, so what I want to give you, I come from Ireland. Has anybody here been to Ireland before? You've been to Ireland. Wonderful. Yeah, there's been a few here. So I've been to Ireland, and a lot of people, when you think of Ireland, there's a lot of things that come to mind. Okay, it's green, really green. Beautiful grass that you've never seen before. It's a special kind of green. The air smells beautiful. You're never more than 70 miles away from the ocean. It's gorgeous. Okay, it's got lovely flowers. I might speak a wee bit different just in case. I might have a wee accent here, so if you hear some words that sort of sound like something you think you know, it probably is. It's similar. But they have lovely green grass, lovely flowers, and beautiful people. And that's what most of you will have seen. However, when I grew up in Ireland, it was a little different. I grew up in the north of Ireland. We call it Northern Ireland. It's actually a separate country. But it's actually the whole same country, but segregated and separated. And I was born into a time of Ireland where the north of Ireland is still owned by Britain. So, but you're born in two different parts of the community. There's a Catholic part of the community and a Protestant part of the community, or a loyalist part of the community, and a nationalist. These people all have different loyalties, are a nationhood for all of Ireland. So I'm going to give you a testimony of growing up in that and how the Lord helped me overcome some of that. Okay, so when you go to Ireland, you know, it's a lovely place. It is a beautiful place to be, but life is life. Doesn't matter where you're born, in Canada, wherever. You're born into a family, and so was I. And I was the eldest in the family, was raised in that family, and had a perfectly normal life, just like any child did, up until about 7, 8 years old. Everything was all good, normal, and then things started to change in life. I remember looking out one day, finally sort of noticing that life is not all roses. And across the road from my house, there was screaming. And my best friend at the time and his daughters were in the top room of their house as it was burning. And the people in the community, it's a small village, they were all trying, including my father, trying to break in the door, but the fire was too intense, And they tried to talk the children into jumping from the roof of the house or from the top floor, and they wouldn't. And unfortunately, all three of them perished. So it was the strangest thing, you know, going to a funeral as a young child. You don't know what you're thinking, but it was, you know, lots of sorrow, lots of sadness. It was a difficult time. About a year after that, what I thought was a lovely life and everything was going great turned out to be a little strange. So one day in the summer, actually it was a little bit after that, my fourth sibling was born 2 months, and my father, there was a strange commotion around the house, and what I didn't know was my father was leaving, coming to Canada, the land of opportunity, the land of milk and honey. So leaving Ireland at the time during a war, a conflict. All I remember from that moment was lots of tears and being brought outside to the back of the house and being handed 50p, which is about a buck. So handed a dollar and being told a pep talk. It says, you're now the man of the house. So now it's up to you to take care of your mother and your sisters and your brother. And I've never forgot it. So that was the last of that communication. We had some letters, probably some money came across at the time. But life quickly changed. In an Irish village, when you are fatherless, people didn't take to it very nicely. They would bully you, they would treat you differently. That was the way life was. There was a lot of beatings. They got beat up all the time, got chased home from school. But life was, that's the way it was at the time. I remember about a year after that, my mother tried her best to keep us going to church. I was born a Catholic boy, and she went to Mass. She did what she could. Eventually, poverty overtook her. We lost our vehicle. We lost electric, got turned off. Food hampers started to become a way of eating, and life sort of just changed. It spiraled. And I remember her trying to take us to church one time as Palm Sunday. And I was on my way back with my best friend, just getting ready to come, and all of a sudden my mother comes up. Somebody took her back from the service, and she pulls over to the side of the road. She says, "Paul, you, coming with me." I'm like, "Yeah, what choice do I have?" I argued, I complained, no avail. You don't argue with an Irish woman. It just doesn't happen. So into the vehicle I went. So looking out the back window, I seen my friend Martin, and he's running towards me as I'm going down the road in the vehicle. Little did I know when I turned my head, he turned and walked onto the road and got run over, got killed. It was devastating. I remember the time it was, this is just crazy when you go through that. I was back home. And all of a sudden, the people in the community, small village, everybody knows everybody. And I was playing with some friends. My mother had sent a message, said, "Paul, you got to come back right away." So back to the house she went, and then everybody breaks the news. It was a moment, I can't even tell you. I remember looking and seeing his last moments before he stepped onto the road, before I turned my head. So life has struggles and hardships, and that was part of that as well. So, I continued through life. Next little while, I lost both my grandparents. Right away, it was within a year of each other. So, the idea of life and death was very real. Little did I know it was becoming much more real. So, in Northern Ireland, as I became a teenager, it didn't take long before I was dragged into a conflict that has 800 years of history. And I didn't know anything about it, but you soon learn about it. I was part of that community. I lived in a village that was predominantly a Catholic village. I had zero Protestant friends. I didn't even know them. We never walked on the side of the road, the same side of the road. Our footpaths, our sidewalks were marked red, white, and blue for people that walked on the Protestant side, and green, white, and orange for people that walked on the Catholic side. We went to different schools. We played in different fields. And I played different sports. I played Gaelic and hurley. I didn't play rugby. Rugby was considered a Protestant sport, but there was a joining of soccer. Soccer, you could both go together. However, you still never talked very much. There was no linkage there. And I can't tell you how it's strange. Hatred is an unbelievable thing. It's not something you're born with. It's something you're taught. And it was taught to us. I grew up with that to the point where I believed Protestants smelt different. Not only did they look different, they smelt different. And the hatred I can't even explain to you. We petrol bombed Protestants out of our community. Little did I know, I ended up being petrol bombed out of the community myself. But life was different because you didn't know any different. You just went through this, and people weren't people to you. They were just division. And it was, in your mind, justified because the people, the older people in your community were telling you that this was normal. Because to them it was normal. They didn't know any different. So I continued through all of this here as a teenager. I got worse. The older kids, young men, used the younger ones to do things that they could get away with. That continued going through all of our teenage life. My neighbor, next door neighbor, actually shot and killed some people in a pub because they were the wrong religion. My other next door neighbor, when we moved, I moved four times at one time. I told you we got petrol bombed out of a community. Well, that was what happened. My mother ended up finding another man, and unfortunately for us at the time, he was Protestant. So that didn't go good in a Catholic community, so we ended up getting booted out of the community too. So we moved to four different houses as we moved through this, and I met a few different neighbors. But unfortunately, that just meant I met more people that ended up getting hurt. So on some of our fellas, a whole bunch of them got blown up in a bar. Actually, they didn't get blown up, forgive me. They actually got sprayed with bullets, and that was very unfortunate. And I had a neighbor down the road, a police officer who got blown up. Typically, the police officers, they aren't normal police officers like you see here. Every day they go out to their vehicle, they walk around it with a mirror on their hand. A mirror, I'm trying to say it the same as you, but I can't. It's a mirror, but you can look on it. And they would look underneath their vehicle for car bombs. And one day this particular person didn't look. And unfortunately, it was the last mistake he ever made. Now, as children in the community, we were young teenagers at the time, the news crews were there doing a presentation on it. And you would think it's a pretty somber time, but that was not the case. All of us were in the back celebrating, singing songs, jumping up and down. I can't tell you how sad that is now that I tell you about that, knowing that we were raised to be like that. So it was a very, very sad situation. Now, fortunately for me, I had the community I grew up in was very sectarian. It was very bad that way. But I had family in different places. And they would come every now and again and bring me out of the community. So I did have the opportunity to see life from different perspective. And I had a wonderful aunt and uncle who tried, and they even gave me a special hotline to communicate with them. And it was amazing because, you know, you look around all the time, you have people in your community, people in your life, and, you know, we're all so busy. But you know, he had five children of his own. He was a teacher. He raised all of these children, went to all these, and still took time to try to help us. Brought me to sporting events, took me all over the place, and I never, ever have forgot somebody that invested time into another person's life. And that actually helped me, because he was a godly man. And it didn't matter. He never spoke about any of the violence. He never partook in any of that. He never put down people in the communities. And it was something, it gave me a glimpse of a different side. And that was important. It was very important at the time. So he became a role model for me when I was growing up. Now my dad, he left, as you know, he came to this wonderful country, land of milk and honey, but it wasn't so easy for him. So when he came over here, he didn't do it in the right manner, so it ended up being a pretty bad life for him, little did we know. However, he connected with us about 8 years after he had left, and I remember, because we hadn't communicated, and I was at my aunt's house, and the phone rang, my aunt answered the phone, You know when somebody answers a phone and they go really, really excited on the phone? Well, there was a whole nother level of excitement when a sister talked to her brother after not talking to him for, 7 or 8 years. So that was my communication with my dad for the first time. A year later, I had the chance to come to Canada. So that was the beginning of something very different, because I had never seen anything other than Northern Ireland. I'd never seen anything other than violence and hatred. And I came to this country, and it was an amazing country. So I had it in the back of my mind. I loved the country, and my dad said there was always a chance that I could come over. So I was back to Ireland again. I finished school, and I was becoming a joiner, a carpenter. And I was working at one of the carpentry factories. And my journeyman, the person I was working with, lovely fella, Dennis his name was. And Dennis and I, he took me under his wing, just a youngster. I was just doing my thing, and he knew more than I did. And he told me about the amazing plans he had for his life. Told me about him, his fiance. Told me he was going to be getting married. Told me he was moving to America. And I heard that, and I talked about Canada. We talked about America. We talked all about this stuff, leaving this mess behind. He never talked about sectarian stuff, violence, anything like that. Just an amazing person. And we went home from work on a Friday, and got a phone call on a Saturday. Was it Saturday or Sunday? It said, "Don't come to work on Monday. There's been a thing in the community." Didn't know what it was, just told not to come. On the news, we had heard that there had been another shooting in the community. Now, what I need to tell you is Dennis was the last victim that I can tell you about at that moment in time. However, he wasn't the first one. About a couple of weeks before, or a week before, in the exact same little place, a young Protestant fella sitting with his girlfriend got a knock on the window, and somebody figured out what religion he was and put a bullet in his head. And the police, I remembered on the news, they said, "All you young Catholic boys, nobody go to this area." Because unlike what Pastor Judy said last week about violence and retribution and vengeance, in Irish community, you took it upon yourself to get back. So everybody knew what would happen. And sure enough, the problem that always happens is people always say, "It's not going to happen to me. It'll never happen to me. It'll never happen." Well, unfortunately, it did. Dennis went there with his girlfriend, got the knock on the window. I only know this because I've read it. His fiance was sitting in the car with him, and they asked him a few questions, had a balaclava on their face, and tried to find out what religion he was, asked him a few questions. He was so flustered, couldn't answer the questions properly. And they asked him his priest's name. He couldn't go through all of this. Finally, he was able to prove his religion, and the fellow says, "Dennis, turn your head." He says, I have to go. This will be over in a moment." He turned his head and he put a bullet in his head. That was the end of Dennis, an amazing young man. Another casualty in a conflict, senseless and unbelievable. At that moment in time, I made a decision in my life. I said, "There is no way that I'm going to sit here and raise my family, future family, in this." I had seen it. I had watched people next door to me shooting people and killing them and no remorse. I had watched my neighbors being killed, and now my journeyman was gone as well. And I sat there and I'm going, "You got to be kidding me." So within a few weeks, I'd called up my dad and he had a ticket for me, and off to Canada I went. So Canada wasn't what I had thought it was going to be at the beginning, because I had no connections. All I knew was this man and his life. And my dad wasn't a God-following man. So unfortunately, the people he introduced me to were drinking an awful lot and doing drugs. So that was not good. I went back home after 6 months to see my mother. I said, "I am done. I cannot handle this Canada place. Got zero connection." She said, "Paul, you promised me 1 year. 1 year." So I went back. And 2 weeks before I was leaving forever, never to come back again, I met this lovely lady sitting down here, happens to be Judy's sister, and she changed my life, and all of a sudden I wanted to come back. Now, the thing about meeting Sharon is that it didn't come without controversy. So my first date with Sharon was kind of interesting, because we went to West Edmonton Mall. And that's a lovely place to go. I'd never been to malls like this before. Ireland didn't have anything like that. So we're walking around. We're holding hands after I asked her if I could hold her hand. We held hands. But there was only one thing in my mind that I needed to ask her. Only one thing. What religion was she? That's all I could think about. So we walked around this mall. She knew it like the back of her hand. She probably grew up there. And I just followed her around looking at all the stuff and all, but I couldn't get it out of my mind. So finally I got the courage and I looked at her and said, Sharon, I gotta ask you something. I said, What religion are you? And she looks at me, she goes, totally taken back by the question. Probably never had that question in her life before. And she goes, oh, I'm Pentecostal. Well, I was taken back equally by her answer because I'd never heard of a Pentecostal before. So I looked at her, I'm like, a Pentecostal? That's not a Catholic, is it? And she goes, well, Christian, but no. I said, that means you're a Protestant, right? She goes, yeah. I'm like, oh, now I'm done. How am I going to deal with this? How am I going to tell my people back home? How does this happen? I have fallen for a person on the other side. Well, strangest thing. Obviously, I still loved the girl, and she kept going to church, and she would invite me to church, but I actually thought I would get burnt to death in church. And I didn't go to church, because in Ireland we have a thing called the Orange Order. And in the Catholic flag is actually built of green, white, and orange. So it's the Protestants and the Catholics with peace in the middle. That's green, white, and orange. So we always see Protestants as orange because of the Orange Order and everything else. So I went to church, and it was a Pentecostal church with orange seats. The whole place was orange. I almost had a heart attack when I walked in there right off the bat. But I got to tell you, I said no many a time, but she kept going to church and never pushed me. And I went to the church, and the most amazing thing happened. There was actually people there, and they were human beings, and they were lovely. And they came over and shook my hand. I even had an embrace from a fella I never met. I never hugged a man in my life before. Didn't matter. He was hugging me anyway. And I couldn't get over it. I was sitting waiting. I'm like, what is going on here? The strangest thing was happening. And I went back again. I'm like, the same thing is happening. They're still nice. They're still treating you amazingly. And all of a sudden, I started hearing about something that I had never heard of before. And I started to hear about Christ. I started to hear about forgiveness and love. Things that I truly didn't understand. I started to see people in a different way. And it was unbelievable. I heard about forgiveness, and I accepted Christ along the way there. And I received grace. I received forgiveness. I didn't deserve it, but I got it. I was a very bad young man growing up, and my mother had her hands full trying to raise me. And I don't know, the Lord had his hands on me too somewhere along the line, because there was a lot of people doing a lot of bad things. But it was interesting. I want to just say, Genesis 50:20. It says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people. And I know this was about Joseph and his brothers, who threw him in a pit, sold him off in slavery, wanted to get rid of him, wanted to kill him, actually, because of jealousy. But it's a promise to all of us, too. And I've seen it now, and I understand it. And what was meant as evil, the bad that happened, the uncomfortable things that went through that, and I don't go into all the details because there's even more. But guess what? What was meant for evil has been used for good. And I stand before you as a witness to that. And it's been amazing for me. Romans 8:28-30 says, all things work together for God, or for good, to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Now, at that time, I wasn't called according to God's purpose. And this is a promise to all of us that life's not going to be easy. And it wasn't easy for me growing up. And I tell you that my testimony is different than other people's testimonies, but equally, everybody has got a testimony. They're going through everything that's a challenge. Their world has got pains, sorrow, sadness. And what I want to say is that, you know, my mother used to actually say a couple of things. It was interesting. When I was growing up, she used to say, just to try to toughen you up, no pain, no gain. Say, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And if it hurts you, it hardens you. These were words. All my children have heard all these, by the way. They've all heard them growing up. But it was a way to try to motivate you because you're going through hardships, but you have to toughen up. And I grew up really, really fast. It was just the product of the environment that I was in. You grew up really, really fast. But it was amazing what the Lord did for me in taking what was somewhat of a broken life, a very damaged life, and a very ruined view, a bad view of other people, and took it and actually changed it. It was amazing. So accepting Jesus provided a life for me, but it provided an eternal life. Yes, I still have the battle scars. They don't go away. Scars are still there, but they're not the same. I can talk about them now. At the time when I came over here, I was a very angry person. And you bring that baggage with you. And you have a choice in life. You can either be bitter or you can be better. You choose to either live in the victim mentality with your scars, with everything that's happened to you and what others have done to you, or you turn to victory in Christ. So our character is forged by what we went through. And I hope that what we go through actually has a chance to help others. When I think about it, who better to help people that have gone through drugs and alcohol abuse than somebody that's gone through drugs and alcohol abuse? Who better to help another person that's gone through a divorce than somebody has gone through a divorce? Or somebody that has lost somebody than somebody who has lost somebody? And our lives all have scars. And if you take your scar, your testimony, and use it for the Lord, you can actually use that to help others. And I have the promise that I've always remembered, and it said, John 5:24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes me, believes him who sent me, has eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." It's amazing. What a promise. To know that if you hear and you can actually find that, you actually have eternal life. My life turned around because of an invitation. An invitation. That's all it took. Somebody to ask. My girlfriend asked me at the time. Now I've been amazingly married to this lady for 30 years. It changed my life. But it was an invitation. And not only that, she never ever stopped the invitation. She pestered me. She said, "You can come if you want." But it wasn't a bad thing. It was a good thing. And I said, "I'm going anyway. Doesn't matter if you don't want to come. I'm still going." So there are people in your community in Wainwright. There are people in your circle that could do with an invitation to come over here for a dinner, a potluck. I'm not sure what you could be having. But to come and sit in a service, because that's all it was for me, to come to a service. And I got to hear the word of the Lord preached. I got to meet genuine Christians who walked the walk and didn't just talk the talk. And that changed my life. And it can change others too. So I ask you, if you can do that for others, it's amazing what you would be able to do if you can make sure that you extend that invitation. So in closing, I just want to say here that don't waste your pain in your life. Pain is inevitable. It's going to happen to all of us. But don't waste it. Use it. Use it to help others, to motivate others, to be a witness for others, to show them what the Lord can do for you and how he can bring you from the pits of despair to the glories and happiness of eternal life. So I thank you all for the opportunity to be able to share my story with you. And I hope that somewhere, something, some of these words can be used to help you or to encourage you in your walk with Christ. Thank you so much.